Hi, everybody. You're here on the Mike and Abe Show, coming to you from the from the United States of America, somewhere. You know,
God bless America.
God bless America. And, Mike, you went to that rally on, what was it, on Tuesday? Wednesday?
Wednesday. There was a Wednesday rally at City Hall. And I'll tell you one thing. We got to get a lot more people involved, because you pretty much had a lot of the same faces there. I mean, I don't want to be critical, but we had some new faces. Don't get me wrong. I'd say about a good 30% of the crowd. It was about 1,000 people showed up. You know, they would come and they'd come and go. But about 30% of the crowd were new faces. But we have 40,000 people complaining about Uber. And politicians see this. It's like, well, where's the 40,000 people complaining about Uber? Well, so you carries out there driving by, waving to me as I'm online at the rally. You know, I could be driving a cab, too. I don't have to go to a rally. So it behooves me, or whatever the word is. It's in your best interest to try and start attending some of these things. Because I don't need to get somebody waving to me as I'm standing in the hot sun at a demonstration, because, you know, I could be driving a cab, too, you know. I mean, it's that simple. So
I tell you, Mike, I really wanted to attend this rally, but the airfare from where I am, and everybody knows I'm not in New York anymore, okay?
From not in New York, yes.
And, you know, the airfare was just too much for me to lay out, you know, the round-trip airfare. Okay. But I tell you, I had it in mind that perhaps I could go to this rally.
Yeah.
Okay, but look, I'm doing what I can from where I am, and a lot of these cabbies should be at the rally. It would be nice if 40,000 cabbies showed up at the rally, but they're so swamped with bills, okay, that they can't afford to get out of their cars. Okay,
they're just so afraid of losing a dime. You know,
I know. So. I mean, they're already working 7 days a week, it's 22 hours a day. I mean, where do they find the time to go to a rally? You know.
Well, that has been said to me, and I was like, listen. Where have I found the time to go? You know, I'm swamped with bills. Where have I found the time to go to a rally? It's maybe 2 hours with a 2 weeks' notice. You're going to tell me over the course of 2 weeks you can't carve out 2 hours to attend a rally for your best interest? Well, you got to start thinking like that.
Let me say this. You know, these bills have been in the writing or limbo for about 2 or 3 months now. Okay, right. and they're not getting passed. And the reason
what's the story with these bills? What's the story with
what's probably going on is they don't have the votes. Okay, and that's where the cabbies that aren't at the rally could step it up and write to their representatives in the city council. Okay, now there's a message on our message board, and I should put it up in other places. I meant to. I haven't done it yet. There's a form that you can fill out and send to your representative, you know, and tell them to vote for these bills, okay? Now some of the bills have been watered down, from what I understand, from what they originally were. And, you know, the question is, will these bills have enough oomph, even if passed, to do the job, to get things, you know?
You get into a territory of something versus nothing. Right now, I drove last night in Times Square, and this does fall in line with what you're saying. Explain to the people in radio, online radio land, what exactly these bills are, because apparently we've been crying for some help from the yellow cab industry, and finally somebody stepped up. Who promoted these bills, and what are the bills in question that you're talking about?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know that I know exactly, but I know this, that
basically
they're designed to cap the FHVs. Okay.
Good.
All right. Mm-hmm. And you know, there is another bill that just came out which I don't like at all. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Capping the FHVs would be a godsend, but don't cap them at the zillion cars that are out there right now. You have to find a way to reduce the numbers, okay?
Right.
And originally the bills had called for a $2,000 fee for each car,
mm-hmm.
which would have helped eliminate a lot of the cars, because these right. these people that are, you know, stealing yellow taxi fares, and I use the word steal because that's really what they're doing, okay?
Yes.
You know, are people that just come out for, like you've told me, for a couple of hours a night, maybe 1 or 2 hours a night, just to get their...
Bingo.
Like one guy wrote that he wants to recover his parking money, you know?
Right.
I mean, it costs $40
right.
to park a
does.
Car, right? How much does it cost to park a car in one of the, you know, parking places in Manhattan, you know, for the day?
Yeah, I'd say about, if you're hanging out on a Friday and Saturday night, about $30 or $40. But before I forget, let me bring up a good point. I'm sure as a medallion guy, you can appreciate this, because we pay $1,000 a year just for the tax stamp. Just for a tax stamp, for whatever reason it is a tax stamp that we have to pay $1,000 a year. I don't know about the FHV cars who are doing this Uber stuff, but if you have to buy a medallion and then pay $1,000 a year, it would be, at the very least they should do, is charge someone who doesn't have to buy a medallion $2,000 a year. And the guy driving the Uber car, full-time Uber driver, would get that $2,000 back in the course of a month, in my opinion, because he'd have a lot less competition stealing the Uber rides from him, and it would get some sanity into this. But then there's so much lobbying and wiggling and handshaking and winking and waving, nothing gets done. And last night was a perfect example. Abe, I was driving last night until... I did some errands in the morning and did some driving, and right around 7 or 8, I was saying, man, this is really good. It was a little rainy, it was kind of slow, but there was a mix of good people with a lot of cabs on the road. And then at 8 o'clock, I swear to God, Abe, it was like hitting a freaking switch. This onslaught of little black Camry and SUV and Uber cars all Uber all the time came swarming like a locust plague into Times Square. You couldn't move. And for whatever reason, they swarmed into Times Square, because I guess maybe the shows let out or something. And compounded with that is this glut of now double-decker tourist buses, where they're intentionally going slow while someone on a microphone points out, this is Columbus Circle, and middle of the lane going 5 miles an hour. Nobody can move. So at the very least, they have to do something about this traffic, and they're not doing anything, and I just think it's cowardice. I mean, basically, de Blasio got elected, and he's very good at getting elected. Not much else, in my opinion. And the cowardice right now being shown by the city council to avoid protecting the workers, let's put it this way. We have, what, 51 city council members? Why don't we have 500 city council members? Let's put it so, like, anybody can become a city council member. So next week, we'll have 500 city council members, and we have to carve up the money allotted to the city council proportionate to the 500 people instead of the 51 people. They wouldn't want that, right? So what's the difference? And I'll say, Abe, right now, it was a disaster. And the night shift cab driver is the one taking the brunt of this. I drove a cab when our friend went on vacation during the day, and it wasn't horrible. I didn't see this onslaught of Uber drivers, because I guess they must have regular jobs, and they only come out, like you were saying, at night to grab a $50 bill in a car, which is grossly unproductive, and it's just a complete mess. And this is all within the last 3 or 4 years, and it's got to be affecting businesses. I mean, people come into shop, they don't come into shop anymore because they say, oh my God, the stores are closing because you've got Amazon. No. It's not Amazon, you schmucks. It's the fact they can't move. They can't come into shop. And a lot of these passenger cars also come in. A lot of these are just the club kids coming around smoking reefer, going through Times Square, taking Facebook pictures and GoPro pictures. They don't spend any money. They do not spend money in restaurants. They don't spend money in the stores. They just mill around and walk around and sit around and blah, blah, blah. So Times Square is a complete frustrating mess. And I think the first step they should do with the city council, and you're right, we have to start outing the people who aren't voting with common sense. We have to start identifying people at the risk of making some enemies. We have to start saying, okay, we have 50 people or whatever on the city council. We have about 20 or 25 people on board now. What is the problem with the other 25? Why do they want this complete mess in the city of traffic? Because it's really just destroying commerce. And I don't know what the story is, but we're going to update that. Now, back to the rally. Even you as a taxi owner, you like what the, at least somebody's doing something. That's what you were telling me.
I do, right? but I don't like one thing that's happening, and I didn't get to say it. I started to, okay? Mm. And I want to say this. A lot of the problem rests in, you know, not that there are app cars that are, you know, what's the word?
Leeching.
Not leeching, no.
Stealing?
No. The controversy. You know, when there's a controversy over whether or not they're doing the right, whether or not they're taking off fares, whether or not they're doing what's prearranged, whether the app is a prearranged thing or just taking up a street hail. I mean, that's controversial. That's the word I was looking for. Okay, mm-hmm. and in my opinion, and don't interrupt me now, Mike. In my opinion, it's controversial, but they are taking our passengers with their app. Okay, because if you're on the street, that's a street hail. Okay, and whether you, no matter how you do it, it's a street hail. But putting that aside, okay, there are many app cars that are taking passengers off the street without any app calls, okay? And this has been going. This has been going on long before Uber was even around, okay? All right. And you know, a bill was passed last year or a year and a half ago. I don't remember when. You know, fining these people $1,000 for the first offense. I think it was $2,000 for the second offense, and $10,000 for the third offense. Okay. And you know, it wasn't very well enforced, okay, but at least it was on the books, and it was enforced somewhat, okay. Now these whiners are crying, you know, how could you do this to us? Well, I say to them, how can you do what you're doing to the yellow taxi business? You know, we paid millions and millions of dollars for our rights, okay, for what the city sold as an exclusive right to the street hails, okay? And now there's a bill. Now they've introduced a bill to reduce these fines to $400 or something like that, some ridiculously low amount of money, saying that you can't be punishing these people to that extent of $10,000. And I say, throw them in jail. You don't want to pay for the same rights that we paid for. Okay, you don't want to drive a yellow taxi legitimately through a fleet. Okay, the fleet is picking up all the expenses. I don't know what your problem is. You're still going to make the same amount of money. Okay, all right. And you don't want to do that. And you want to come in with your gypsy cab. Okay. So, all right, and steal fares from the street, but you're crying that you're being fined too much money, and you don't want to pay that? Fine. We have a jail cell waiting for you, okay? Go to jail, okay? Do your time. Now, do your time, okay? Hold on, Mike. I'm mad as hell, okay? Because it took me, with all the loans that I had to take out to keep my medallion running, for cars that I needed, okay? Every 3 years I needed a car when the car before me wasn't paid for, okay?
Right.
All right?
Yeah.
You know, so over the years, I paid for 40 years, I paid, okay?
Right.
All right? Forget about that I, you know, didn't spend a lot of money in the beginning, okay? Because the medallions in the 1970s were much less money than they were later on, okay? I kept borrowing money and borrowing money and borrowing money just to stay in business, okay? So I paid for years, okay? And I didn't pay. I didn't get even until in the recent past,
right.
Okay? Like maybe just a couple of years ago, I finally got even, okay? I'm glad I'm even because I don't have to worry about like these other guys have to worry about. But look. I paid and I paid and I paid and I worked and I worked and I paid and I worked and I paid and I worked. And these guys want to come in and get it for nothing. Okay, they want to steal it away. Okay, hey, give me a break, please. Don't pass that bill lowering those fines. Enforce the bill that's on the books or throw these people in jail. I'm done. Yeah. I'm done.
Bingo.
I'm done.
No,
I'm
no,
done.
No. Well, you brought up a good point. Yeah. I jump back to my Yankee Stadium scenario. Let's say Mike and Abe go down to the deli. We buy a case of beer. All right. Mm-hmm. You and me, we each buy a case of beer. And, you know, I say, Abe, I got a great idea. Let's walk into Yankee Stadium and we'll sell loose cans of beer. We'll sell Lucy's for $10 a piece because the Yankees are selling beer. They got permission from the city to sell beer in Yankee Stadium. You and me, we'll buy a case of beer. We'll spend $20 for a case of beer. We'll send the beer for $10 a piece. We'll make a fortune. So we walk at the Yankee Stadium with our case of beer. We're stopped at the gate. The cops are going to throw us in jail, blah, blah, blah. What's the difference between Mike and Abe being thrown out of Yankee Stadium because we want to sell beer versus the cab driver being ripped off by a guy who wants to steal our fares? It's basically, we were guaranteed exclusive rights by the city of New York. And the only reason we paid a lot of money for medallions is because the city of New York, not some guy in the deli in the back, but the city of New York guaranteed our exclusivity to do that. And what the city of New York also did for the Yankees and for the Mets and other places, they guaranteed exclusivity of being able to run a business with exclusivity in mind. So if the city of New York would have told us initially before they auctioned off medallions to us and said, okay, listen, we're going to charge you $700,000 for a taxi medallion, and then the guy over here is going to pay nothing. But we'll say, well, wait. We would have known this up front. We would have said, hey, whoa, time out. So you're telling me for $700,000, the guy who's paying nothing is going to have the same rights as me, and I'm paying $700,000. It's like, why in God's name would I pay $700,000 from a taxi medallion from the city when I can just get a car and a phone and make the same money picking up people up the street? That's a good question that wasn't answered, and it was, at the very least, it was sneaky of the city to do that, and at the very most, it was a rip-off scam, and they got to start looking into that. I mean, at the very least, the city of New York should refund the money, back the money to the people who bought medallions directly from the
what
city.
What I want to know is, why is the city of New York in such denial about this? You know?
What's that?
Why are they in such denial? Denial River?
Because they're crooks. Okay. I think you got a few crooks at the Mets. That's why.
Yeah, but
I heard an ad. Go ahead.
No, but the mayor is, when they were out there selling these medallions, auctioning them off, in 2014 or 2013, whatever it was. Right. I mean, the mayor was right out there, saying, oh, this is a wonderful thing, was auctioning medallions.
Yeah.
Doesn't he have any kind of guilty conscience about the fact that he took $1 million and more from people to buy medallions in 2014 and then did not enforce the exclusivity of these medallions? Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Doesn't he have a conscience? I don't get it.
Well, here's the thing. Right now, I wasn't too thrilled with some of the language at the rally from some people telling Chairperson Joshi was there. She showed up at the rally, and I said, oh, I'm glad to see you at the rally to see what's going on. She goes, no, I always go to the rally. So apparently, as commissioner of the TLC, she goes to all the rallies to hear what the cab drivers are saying. So the TLC commissioner was there listening. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I think was kind of, I mean, I know it's, you want to get the emphasis, but I think it was kind of a cheap shot to say that these cabbie suicides were blood on their hands, and the blood on their hands of the TLC. Say, listen, you got a few people who did sadly kill themselves, but you got about 90,000 cab drivers who haven't killed themselves. So there might have been some personal problems within the community of cab drivers who committed suicide, but I'll tell you, they were driven to it in a large degree because they at least had a way to make a living, all right? Now,
right.
I don't know if they killed themselves directly because of the medallion going down the drain. They probably had some other problems going on. But the fact of the matter is, when you take away a person's way to make a living and you have all these problems on top, I could easily see where someone would be driven over the edge. And apparently that's what happened with a few of our fellow cab drivers. And it's very tragic and very sad. And there are extenuating circumstances where a person takes their life. But the one foundation of a person's humanity is the right to be able to feed themselves and their family. And when you strip that away, especially when you rip them off the way I think it's been done, like I said, I'm not saying that you should go up and start screaming TLC as blood on their hands, but by God, they put these suicides on the express track. when they deny these drivers their way to make a living. And the other thing is with the medallion sales, you just got to say to yourself, I heard an ad on the radio the other day. The city was auctioning off bonds direct from the city of New York, backed by the full faith and credit of the city of New York. Again,
Excuse me?
If somebody wants to sell bonds directly competing with those bonds? The city would throw them in jail. The city would fine them. The city would revoke their license. Why is it all this double standard? And where are the judges who are supposed to be the referees in this to identify that and say, listen, whatever rule you made, you told these cab drivers they'd be the only store in town. That's why they paid so much money. Now if you're going to change the rules, you either have to refund the money to the people who bought medallions directly from the city and the medallion owners, or something along those lines, because right now it's a ripoff. I mean, right now it's just a disaster, and the city, a direct issue, sold medallions for over $500,000. At the very least, they should refund that money directly to the cab drivers. At least they should do that. Because that minimum upset bid price, and they even posted a minimum upset bid price directly from the city of New York, and at the very least, they should refund the cab drivers who bought medallions at the minimum upset bid price or above. I mean, this is a scam. I mean, this is my opinion. I don't know what these judges are looking at. I think you got to look into term limits, because I think some of these judges have been on the bench too long. I don't know if they got rocks in their heads, but they're not looking at it objectively, and that's really scary. By the way, Abe, you told me something. I want to give you a chance to roll on this.
Yeah.
You said you went down to Miami lately, and it's another Uber swarm of drivers in Miami. I didn't even think about that.
Well, you know, they're not visible, but the traffic in Miami is absolutely horrendous. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the taxi medallion in Miami went from, 400,000. Where somebody was trying to sell me two medallions for $50,000, okay?
Two medallions,
okay?
And, right.
And I didn't bite. I inquired, but I didn't bite, okay? Because I see it as the same nightmare that happened in New York, okay? And, Miami politicians, the city council, they're going to make new rules and blah, 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 blah. And I said to myself, like the new rules that the city council in New York has been making, you know?
For 4 years.
Yeah, right. I mean, come on, you know. Look, I just hope that when Mayor de Blasio goes to sleep at night, does he sleep at all? Or, you know, does he just say to himself, I don't give a damn about what happens? You know, I don't give a damn that I sold this guy a medallion for $1.3 million. As mayor of the city, in the name of the city,
right. Okay,
that I sold the medallion for $1.3 million and told him he had exclusive rights to the street hails. And, I didn't really mean that. I just wanted the $1.3 million for the city, you know?
Right.
I mean, you know, but I didn't really mean, you know, I just told him that, you know, just so he'll come up with and so the credit unions will give him the money, you know, it just stinks. It just stinks.
Yeah.
All right.
And, you know, that's the other thing is, it's one thing if a driver buys a medallion from a guy in a coffee shop or from some vig sitting in the ball game or sitting in a bar or. And if it's a street deal, it's like, dude, you shouldn't have done that. You should have bought it. But if the city of New York, faith and credit of the city of New York is auctioning medallions with the weight of the enforcement behind it, you would think you have, at least, like I said, if you bought a medallion at the auction from the city of New York, directly from the city of New York, let's say you overpaid for $700,000 at an auction, and you see the minimum offset bid price from the city was $458,000 or whatever it was, you say, okay, well, I got screwed on a couple hundred grand, but at least, you know, I can sleep at night because I know if I got screwed, I'm not going to die or kill myself for 200 grand. I might die or kill myself for 700 grand, but 200 grand, I could do this, I could do that. It would be maybe 800 a month on my back, lesson learned, you know. But the fact of the matter is, it was just a complete bait and switch. That's what I'm saying. It's just a complete bait and switch.
Right.
And it's all this mumbo-jumbo about, oh, the immigrant community, immigrants. Hey, listen, you had first-generation immigrants driving a cab every day for 4 or 5 years, squirreling away their little bit of money for a deposit to buy a medallion. This so-called progressive bullshit about immigrant. Listen, here's the first generation immigrant comes to America, buys a medallion, and you screw him or her. What are you? So now you're just lying. Now you're a phony progressive, and you're just a crook. You be ashamed of yourself. You should give these people their money back and surrender to the police and go to jail for 10 years for fraud. That's what you should do, in my opinion, and all with all due respect. But what else we got here?
Well, tell me more about the rally. I mean, who did you talk to at the rally? You talked to people there?
Oh, I talked to the chairperson of the commission. She seems very nice.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of the leaders gave her a hug, which, you know, I'm kind of wondering, with all this going on, are we really supposed to be hugging the commission of the TLC at rallies? I mean, it's a little strange.
I'll hug her myself if she takes part in straightening out the mess.
Yeah. Okay. No, I mean, right now, I'm just wondering, I mean, here's the thing, as far as ownership of the mess, we have the commissioner of the TLC, we have the mayor of this city of New York, and we have Governor Cuomo, who's a complete disaster. I think Governor Cuomo, he needs some obsessive compulsive psychotherapy or something, because he's a classic example, mm-hmm. the roads in New York. He starts a lot of construction projects, starts a lot of projects, starts rebuilding LaGuardia, starts rebuilding the Van Wyck, starts rebuilding Kennedy. He's not a closer. He doesn't know how to finish these things. He just starts things. And it's just a constant mess. And again, with the Uber thing, he starts this Uber fiasco, and it's like a little kid. He wants candy, he wants this, he wants that, tax and spend. And at the end of the day, it's like, listen, could we just finish these freaking things? You're starting all this chaos all over the city. We got two airports you basically can't use. You have Uber all over the place. I rented a video from the library the other day. It was about how the subway was built 100 years ago. You know how it was built 100 years ago? They got some guys, they dug a hole in the ground and basically put a trailer and a track under the subway, being pulled by horses or steam or whatever the hell they did. They built the subway. They built the subway in the ground 100 years ago. Now we can't even paint it. We got these, you know, screwball homeless things. And I'll tell you something else. I mean, this is the whole who says I'm paranoid routine, Abe. Somebody brought up a very, very, very good point, and I'm wondering if we have some agent provocateurs, some fifth columnists in the mass transit, MTA subway and bus people, who are keeping the subways and buses disgusting to help promote the Uber cars above ground. I mean, I'm just wondering if the subways and the buses are being kept like complete shitholes, pardon the French, to promote the Uber usage above ground, because I see a lot of people in Uber cars. The people taking Uber cars in Manhattan, they ain't getting on the subway at 4 in the morning and sitting next to a guy scratching his ass with a bag of dirty clothes. That person is not riding the subway. I talk to a lot of women, professional women.
Mm-hmm.
They literally verbatim say, oh, my God, I'm not taking the subway. Last time I took the subway, there was a disgusting guy sitting in the corner, and another guy grabbed my butt. This is what women tell me. They've told me this repeatedly,
mm-hmm.
about they get groped in the subway, and there's a guy sitting in this corner leering him and scratching his rear end. And so what the cop says, she goes, oh, I'm not going to tell the cops. I mean, I feel bad for a lot of these women in New York, because I see them getting whistled at and kissed at, and apparently they get these handsy guys on the subway who literally just ride the subway to grab women's rear ends. And they're not going to go running to the cops. It's like, well, what are you going to do? You're going to spend 6 months on a trial testifying against the guy, and you get kids to take care of, you have a job, you have to go to work. So a lot of these women, I didn't realize it, but just talking to them inside my cab, they go through holy hell on the subways. And I think the cops can relate to this, because these women, eventually they come in when they really, really have a big problem on the subway. But just by and large, these women are constantly harassed on the subway with this disgusting, filthy subway system we have now that didn't used to be that way 100 years ago when they built it from scratch. So it's just a complete mess. And I'll tell you the one thing another passenger in my cab told me. Apparently the one thing de Blasio is good at is smoking marijuana in the backyard of Gracie Mansion at night. Because they said they can smell the reefer.
Hold on. This is alleged. Okay.
Alleged.
Well, she
lives on East End, and she goes, every night I go out there, and you can smell the marijuana coming from Gracie Mansion. I think it's the mayor, but every night they're smoking marijuana. Is there somebody smoking marijuana in Gracie Mansion every night? So that might explain a lot.
De Blasio, Let me ask you this.
He ain't doing enough.
Is De Blasio living in Gracie Mansion? The last I heard, he was still living in his apartment in Brooklyn.
He goes back and forth. He goes, I don't know what he does in Brooklyn, but he still stays at Gracie Mansion from time to time. And what settle that, Abe?
What?
I have to take an annual drug test. Every cabbie has to take an annual drug test. I think, as a matter of good faith, Bill de Blasio should go down Monday morning and take a drug test for the city of New York. Because we shouldn't have a mayor smoking weed if it's still illegal. I mean, that's my opinion.
Okay,
I mean, why am I taking a drug test for marijuana and the mayor of the city of New York doesn't have to take a drug test?
Okay, I just want to make it clear. We are not accusing the mayor of smoking marijuana. Okay.
Another reason.
Yeah.
I tell Bill de Blasio, if he is upset at what I'm saying or what this woman alleged, let's have Bill de Blasio go down Monday morning or Tuesday morning. Give him a day to think about it.
Okay, so this is a woman.
Take a drug test for marijuana.
Right,
simple.
This is a woman in your taxi said this. She's accusing the mayor of smoking marijuana.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Not that there's anything wrong with smoking marijuana. It just happens to be against the law. Okay.
Right. And the mayor of the city of New York, if he wants to legalize marijuana, fine. But at the same time, I haven't smoked weed in years. I'll fall on my sword. I haven't smoked weed in freaking years because I drive a cab.
Right.
And that's part of the way I have to drive a cab. I can't smoke weed. That's the deal. You can't smoke weed when you drive a cab.
That's correct.
But the mayor of the city of New York, and some of these city council people, look, let's go down and take a drug, not just for marijuana. Let's check for opiates. And heroin.
I think everyone that works for the city of New York, or elected officials, appointed people, everyone should take the same drug tests that they require of the taxi drivers. Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Okay. What about equal protection under the law? Equal protection under the law. That's
okay,
the law.
I mean the taxi commissioners, all those people that sit up there on the taxi commission, or any commission.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Okay, they the transportation commissioner. They should all take drug tests because if they're worried about taxi drivers operating under the influence, well. They shouldn't operate under the influence either, even if they're not driving, because they're making policies for people in the city of New York. Okay?
Yeah.
So we don't want some wacko marijuana policies. We don't want anybody on drugs making policies. We want clear thinking people. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm telling you, this is what I'm thinking. It's like, listen, if somebody is smoking half a bag of weed every day and not doing anything and not doing their job and making stupid policies, I know why all this is happening. Because the person who's supposed to be doing something is smoking half a bag of weed a day. And it's probably a large bag at that. Anyway, just want to thank you folks for listening to the show this week and every week. Abe, what are the view count numbers on our little funky little website? We're doing very well.
Many hundred a day. Okay, I've seen up to 600 a day. Okay.
Wow.
Okay, and it ranges anywhere. I keep track on a daily basis. Okay, and on a slow day it's over 300. Okay, and most days it's up around between 400 and 500, and one day last week it got to 600. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So the website is doing very well. It's getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, most everybody out there knows about it. Even Ms. Joshi told you, yes, I know the website, right? Okay. I just want to say to her that I have nothing against her personally. I have a lot against her policies, okay?
Yes.
You know, I'm sure if she was in a different position somewhere else, she wouldn't be under this controversy, okay? All right?
Well, I tell you, the read I got from Joshi is... Now, this is just my opinion. The Commissioner Joshi, all due respect, is she had a look on her face like she's been had. And she had a look on her face like this might be a good time for the yellow cab to step it up and tell us, say, listen, we knew from a long way back who these characters were, these uber fast buck artists. We knew what was going on. And she apparently... was under the impression that she could, everybody work together and help Now she has a look in her face like she's not too thrilled the way things are playing out. She sees the cabbies with the suicides and the rallies and the demonstrations, and she apparently has been sold a bill of goods that she's not happy with. So we extend our support to TLC chairperson Josie. We're not going to say, I told you so, but now that you realize what a bunch of BS they've been feeding you, we're more than willing to do what we can to help turn this thing around with the help of the chair lady of the TLC. Day one scenario, Mike, Abe, Taxi Dave, Beta V, Barris Ford, Nino is like a lovesick puppy with the chairperson. He loves Commissioner. They're big buddies. Not too big buddies, but they're big buddies. But we offer Commissioner Yoshi a day one scenario. Let's work together to straighten out this mess. Because right now, that's all it is, it's a mess. It's not helping anybody. People can't shop. People are not coming into the city. It's blocking the legitimate transportation operators from making a living. So you've been sold a bill of goods that has just turned out to be a bunch of BS. And we want to help bring this back. Because we had a pretty good damn system for 80 years, Abe, with these taxi medallions. Everybody made a living. Everybody could buy a cab. I mean, that was fun. I'm looking back in the days. There was a time when, you're going to love this. I found a record from Columbia of a cab driver talking about cabin driving in the 60s. And there were about 5,000 owner drivers. A guy would own his cab with the medallion, and he'd be an owner driver. That's what we got to bring back, Dave. That is what the fabric of New York is, to have more owner driver yellow cabs.
Well, that's the purpose of buying a medallion. You're an owner driver, and these guys got screwed the last bunch that bought them. These are the ones that are being foreclosed on because they can't pay the monthly payments on $1,200,000 bill or $700,000 or $800,000 bill. Okay. You know, my opinion, the medallion should have maxed out around $750,000. Okay?
Right.
All right? Mm-hmm. And after that, you know, and look, I had no inkling that when it went to 800, then 900, then 1,000, then 1,000,000, then 1,000,001, I had no inkling that this was being rigged, basically. These numbers,
right, exactly.
Okay, and they were being rigged by people that were bidding them up for their own good, okay, because they already owned medallions that they had bought at lower prices, so this was giving them, and I'm not going to mention any names here, but we all know who these people are, okay, you know, and this was giving them the power to borrow more money, okay.
So you think there might have been a little pump and dump in the mix?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, all right, and
I hadn't thought about that.
You know, look, straighten things out. If you straighten things out, here's what the Taxi Workers Alliance and Beta V are asking. Okay, and this was in I'm going to read off their flyer for the rally that was held. It says, cap the number of FHV vehicles and no replacement of diamonds as part-timers expire. Okay.
Right.
Require wrap companies must be regulated, must use the regulated taxi meter as the rate of fare. Not use taxi meters. You know, you thought that's what they were saying. No, they just want to make sure that they can't charge less than what the taxis charge. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, because that in itself is a way of taking fares away from the yellow drivers, okay? And the green drivers also, I might say, because they were sold the bill of goods too, okay?
Oh, they were really, really, really screwed.
Right. Okay, and then it says a raise for all drivers. She wants $260 a drop, $325 a mile, and the flat fare, the JFK, is $62, okay?
Right.
You know, you could debate these numbers, but definitely we need a fare increase, okay?
The drivers need a fare increase. The small operators need a fare increase.
The city of New York right now is charging less than cabs, much less than cabs where I am, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're getting something like $385 a mile, okay?
Yeah.
Cabs around my part of neck of the woods, all right? In fact, I was thinking about buying a medallion, you know, but I'm not going to from nearby town, okay? Cause
interesting. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm going to inquire about it. I'm going to talk to some people to see exactly what's up. Okay, but they want to regulate the Taxi Workers Alliance. They want to regulate companies that lease and finance FHV's cars. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to cap the amount of money they can charge for these cars. Okay? But just look, you know, let me see what else it says here. Something about group rides and stuff. I'm leaving that flyer up on the website, even though the rally has already been held, if anybody wants to read it.
Okay.
But to me, right. just cutting down the number of these FHV cars and not letting them steal, you know, fares, you know, off the street, you know, without the app call or whatever, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Such as pulling up to people and saying, you need a taxi. How much there? $50. How much there? JFK, $100. You got to find them. You got to find them $10,000. I don't care. You know, this is ridiculous. There's no mercy for these people. They're breaking the law and they know it. Okay?
Well, the whole deal with that number of $10,000 tells people, we don't want you to do this.
Exactly.
$10,000.
And they can't pay
flat,
the
no. They
can't pay the $10,000, and that puts them out of business. They may never pay the $10,000 because they don't have it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right? But
mm-hmm.
let these people make these people drive legitimate taxi cabs. Okay?
Right.
You know, we have taxi mm-hmm. cabs sitting. There are medallions on the shelf. There's 2,000 medallions on the shelf. Okay? Some of them are being auctioned. These medallions have been foreclosed on. Okay? And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we'll get them back on the street. You know, and that's a good thing. If
right.
we get those medallions back on the street, all right, and people driving them and get rid of these people that are stealing fares. I mean, I don't mean the app.
They're crooks. Cool. They're crooks. That's
yeah,
all they are.
Yeah, yeah, they're just riding around in their personal cars. You know, maybe they have TLC plates on them. Maybe they have the Uber app or the Lyft app or Via, right? Okay, Curb is good. Curb,
mm-hmm.
Curb is in the Italian taxis. Okay, and
Curb is good.
Yeah,
I've been using
I know.
Curb lately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you've used the app, the Curb app.
You know, here's the thing.
Yeah.
In my slim defense, I've been Murphy's Law with getting my. I haven't lost my Curb cherry yet. I'm going to meet the guy next week. Talk about some stuff. But I did register as a Curb user for accessible rides and. The calls are coming out. I mean, on the Curb system, the Verifone system in the cab I'm driving on the weekend is really, really good. I mean, it's grown by leaps and bounds. In fact, I'm going to talk to the guy next week about helping us to help them, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And to tell you the truth, Abe, it's the future. I mean, you get the e-hail, and it's not like a flying blind thing anymore. The e-hail will tell you where that passenger is going. So it's like, well, listen, I don't want to pick up a guy around the corner, I got 10 people in front of me. Well, the e-hail with the Curb that I've seen will give you an idea where the person is going. And the accessible rides for the people who are handicapped, non-wheelchair accessible, is fantastic. It'll tell you, you know, to meet the person around the corner. It'll tell you where they're going. And you get your money and blah, blah, blah. So I've talked to the Curb guy. We're going to try and figure out how to tell the drivers that there is, in fact, more money coming in where it didn't used to be there anymore.
Mm.
And I it's very encouraging to see that. We have to do more of that. Along the lines of financing, when you bought a medallion, what was the usual rate within the industry for financing? Was it 4%, 5%, 7%? How much were they financing medallion?
No. It was like 8%.
It was 8%.
Yeah, but you're talking 40-something years ago. Okay.
Okay, so let's say the money, that's when there was inflation and everything
else.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. Rates
dropped. Rates dropped drastically since that time. Okay.
Okay. So hypothetically speaking, I was looking at financing for other stuff lately, and I have 250. Now, what they give you? 15 years or 30 years?
They gave us 5 years, but we needed 40.
it felt like 40.
But we had it. I tell you, no matter how much you paid, you still owed. You know, you would pay a lot of money, 8%. You know, you make a payment, and you know, 90% of that payment goes to interest. You know,
right?
I mean,
well, here's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at if you bought a medallion, let's say hypothetically, for $500,000.
Yeah.
At 6.5% for 15 years, your monthly note would be like $4,300 a month. So if you had, if you borrowed $500,000,
hold on, hold on. You're making up numbers, Mike. You're making up numbers. All right.
Well, I'm looking at the numbers that I have on the screen.
Okay. All right. You did this. Okay.
I'm not making up numbers.
No. I wanted to go on the screen and look at these numbers that you're saying. Because you're saying this. Say I've researched this, and this is what it is. Now go ahead. All right.
I've researched this, and in my opinion, this is what it is.
Okay.
All right? I'm not a banker, so do your own homework, but from what I see, if you have $500,000
right.
loan on a cab,
right.
let's say you put
right.
down 10%, so $550, you put 10% down, you get $500,000 loan at 15 years, at 6.5%, which is a very good return, it would be $4,354 a month. $4,354 a month for 15 years for $500,000. You could do that as a medallion owner if everything was stable. That would be a $500,000 at $4,300 a month for the loan, insurance, and blah blah
and
blah. And would be more.
And what would the interest rate
you
be?
You keep interrupting.
I want to know the interest rate. I want to know the interest rate.
I told you, it's 6.5%.
Oh, 6.5%. Is that what it is now?
That's what I have on my screen, 6.5%.
Okay.
For 15 years. Hey, let me finish.
I'm going to let you finish. Wait. I'm trying to do the math with you.
You're not okay. letting me finish.
Finish.
You keep jumping in. Okay. Can we take it from the top, please?
No.
Listen. At least you're being honest. No, we can't take it from the top. Now, all right. I'm going to just give me a minute, please.
You got it. You got 1 minute. You got 1 minute. Go.
You just blew it. Now you interrupted by saying, I got 1 minute. Okay.
Okay.
This is it. This is the minute. Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Go. Say go.
Go.
Say go. All right. So I'm looking at the screen. I've done some investigated stuff. $500,000 at 6.5% for a 15-year loan. In my opinion, as a non-professional, $500,000 at 6.5% for a 15-year loan comes out to $4,354 per month.
Mm-hmm.
$4,354 per month. That's getting $500,000 at 6.5% for 15 years. $4,354 a month. Then on top of that, you need car payments, insurance, and yada yada yada. But I mean, right there, the car. So let's say you got maybe you could sneak out $5,500. So $5,500 puts you at $1,400 a week, paying off a medallion. And if you got a fair increase along the way, or if the equity jumped, at least it's something. At least, even if it doesn't go up for 15 years, you know, at the end of 15 years, maybe it goes up, let's say, $500 or $600. But at least you have a chunk of money in your pocket from driving a cab versus nothing. That's what I think it should be. We should start putting out the welcome mat for owner drivers. And enough of this funding geek investment banker crap that's killed us, literally, to some guys. If the medallion went back up to $500,000 for owner drivers, I think it would be a viable business, especially if you had those little fare increases up, and these geniuses who say, oh, we don't need a fare increase. Fine. Put on your cab, you're going to charge the low rate, and tell your drivers that they can keep the fare increase money because you're saying all along you don't want a fare increase. So when the fare increase comes in, you go to the TLC and say, listen, I don't want to charge any more for the lease price because I never wanted a fare increase in the first place, and I'm going to let all the fare increase money go to the driver. Just sign off on that when you say a fare increase. Don't keep saying you don't want a fare increase, you don't want a fare increase. Then when we get a fare increase, you take the fare increase. Now, it's a complete bizarro world with some of these people, in quotes, saying they don't want a fare increase. The drivers need a fare increase. The owner drivers need a fare increase. The fleet drivers need a fare increase. And the small operators, a guy like 8 or 10 cabs, they need a fare increase. All these people saying they don't need a fare increase, I think there's some insidious stuff going on. There's a lot of people out there in the industry who are doing a lot, making a lot of money with cabbies being poor and broke and fly-by-night cabbie scenario, which I hate. So let's try and bring back the owner drivers. Let's try and get the owner driver medallions up to 400 or 500,000 legitimately, where someone can lock into a 15-year loan and drive a cab and make money and make a living and have a little piece of the American dream at the end. Okay? Because right now it's ridiculous. So, Abe, I guess that's our show, and
No.
I got to get out of here.
I just want to ask you, the 6.5% interest rate, I don't believe that's the going rate now. I believe it's about less than that.
Well, I'm saying to attract investors. I mean, that's a high rate.
It is a high rate, but for an individual medallion owner to pay 6.5% of $4,300 a month, that's putting him behind the wheel 24 hours a day. Okay, I happen to have a mortgage calculator in front of me on my computer, and I'm going to put in 4.5%. Okay, and the right. now 4.5%
the pay, will be yeah. $3,800 a month.
Exactly, $3,825. Okay.
Right.
So I just wanted to throw that in, you know, so that, you know, we don't want to attract investors. We want to attract,
attract financing investors. Financing. Attract people to lend money.
Financing. Okay. So in other words, 6.5% would attract financing, but all of this is pointless until the city of New York makes a law and declares that exclusivity is exclusivity and it will never change and not be exclusivity. And they create a task force of police and the National Guard and whoever you need to enforce this exclusivity. Okay?
Right.
You know, because because nobody's going to buy a medallion for $500,000 and nobody's going to lend money for a medallion for $500,000 without this guarantee of exclusivity.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I got a good idea. How about this? How about getting the wheel lock? You know that when the parking violation goes after a SCOTF law, they should allow the TLC to boot the wheel of a car that they see picking up illegally, put it on the side of the road, and at least give the person who's stealing off the street a headache like the headache we're getting. So let the TLC be allowed to boot people observed operating illegally, and the car sits in the street, and they have to pay $1,000 to get the boot removed, and the car is towed. You know what I mean?
Something
where it's just not a free for all.
Right.
Yeah,
right. There has to be a way to enforce the exclusivity. Okay, you can't just sell it. You can't just sell it and not enforce it. Okay.
Right.
All right. Mike,
what's happening now,
Mike? It's been a great show. Okay.
It has been a good show.
Okay,
a lot of fun.
You know, we could talk about more, but I know you got to get out there and hit the pavement, okay?
And that would be nice. Well,
don't hit it with your head, okay?
I did a couple
of weeks ago, and I recovered from my injuries. Okay, I tripped over something and hit the pavement with my head, you know, face down. Okay,
ooh.
All right.
Now I think I'm
suffering from. Something called a detached retina or something. It causes it's affecting my pool.
That was part of the fall?
I think it was, because since that time I've been seeing what they call floaters in one eye.
Floaters, yeah.
Okay, and I read about it, and it could be a detachment of the retina or something, and I need to see an ophthalmologist, okay? But I can still shoot pool and I can still drive, and you know, this is funny, I don't see the floaters when I drive, but when I'm looking at the computer I see it, and when I close one eye I don't see it, and when I keep the other eye closed I do see it, so I know it's only in one eye. Okay.
I had a problem with floaters when I was younger, and they're a lot better now. They're just like little tiny blur things, but when I was younger, forget it. It was horrible.
Okay.
So I don't know how that happened.
Okay.
Anyway, it's a great show, Abe, and I'll talk to you up the air about a couple of things.
Yeah.
But Cabbies, hang in there, and let's bring back the owner drivers, because that's what works. That's what worked for 80 years, and that's what will work into the future.
Okay.
We had 5,000 owner drivers back in the 60s, and everybody made money, made a living, and the public loved them.
Okay.
So let's get back to that.
All right. Everybody. Thank you for tuning in, and hopefully we'll be back next week.
See you next week.
Okay. Bye.